Thank you, Mr. and Ms. Green. Thank you, choir, for the good singing this morning. It is good to be back in God's house. Amen. I appreciate your faithfulness to God's house and to God's Word. The title of my message this morning is in the form of a question. Am I an influence for God? Am I an influence for God? That's something that I want to challenge you to answer before you leave today. Please take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. We'll begin in Luke and then we'll skip back into the Old Testament in just a few moments. Luke chapter number 19. No matter where you live or where your children go to school, our communities are in desperate situation today. There's so much evil and wickedness. Do you agree? There is a crying need in our world for men and women to do one thing, I believe, above all other things, and that is to stand for God. We've been quiet too long. I think it's an excuse. Many times we hear people ask, what can one man do? What can one woman do? History, I hope you'll agree with me, is full of examples of individual men and women who did incredible things. Plus, if we get enough men and women making the right kind of difference, we'll see real transformation taking place all around us in Caldwell County. We'll see a mighty moving of God in Caldwell County. Friends, we forget that a lot of wrong kind of impact is being made by one person. Let me give you one example. A gang leader, for example, can impact our young people, and it's always in the wrong way. It's the wrong kind of impact. It's an impact that can destroy a young person's life. Now, you know what's very sad? It's been said that one of the worst things that can happen is for a Christian people to do nothing. To do nothing at all. I want to remind you of something that was very sad, and some of you will remember this. On Sunday, and I want you to note what day of the week it was. On Sunday, September the 27th, 2009, preacher David Treadway, pastor of Sandy Ridge Baptist Church in Hickory, took his own life on Sunday. Now, try to imagine that and what it did to his family and what it did to that church. He was suffering from the disease of depression. He had a chemical imbalance. Now, I know the story very well because on October 1, 2009, Don Engel and myself, we were called to that church as counselors for a grief memorial service. And we were there for several hours. And as we stood there, we heard many of those members of the church as they came to the microphone up front. And they were, for approximately 2 hours, men and women would come. And they were telling how David had got them involved in the church and how David had led them to Jesus. And how week after week, David had preached the Word of God to them. No, David Treadwell did not finish the race that the Lord had given him to run while he was here. He made a huge, huge impact for Jesus Christ. Again, look at my sermon title, Am I an Influence for God? I remind you, as I do quite often, that each one of us will stand before God one day. Born-again believers will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. To stand before God and not have been an influence for God, how sad. To stand before God and not to make a difference, an impact for God, how sad. Ladies and gentlemen, true influence has nothing to do with your size, but everything to do with the passion of your heart. Think about that. As Christians, we use so many excuses. So many times we'll say we're too old or we'll say we're too young. We'll say we're too big or we're too small. Again, true influence has nothing to do with your size, but it has to do with the passion of your heart. Do you love Jesus more than you love anything else? Now, how do I know that the heart is the issue? Southern Baptists use the name of one of the female missionaries, Lottie Moon. We hear that name every November and December to raise over $1 million per year in international mission work. I wonder, do you remember the story? Lottie Moon carried the gospel of Jesus Christ into China and made a huge impact to those people. This missionary giant, do you remember how tall she was? 4 feet and 3 inches. Yet because of her heart, the desire of her heart, she made a tremendous difference. Not only there, among those people, but she's still making a difference today as that offering is being taken up. What an influence she is. Walter Payton, how many remember that name if you followed football just a little bit? NFL at one time, a rushing leader died. If you remember the date, November 1, 1999, in those brief 45 years he lived, he touched so many lives. Lives of his coaches, lives of the players that he played with, those opposing players. And his funeral, just as it happened in that church in Hickory, many people came and stood at the microphone. And they spoke on his behalf. Probably the most well-known was his coach, Mike Ditka. And I want to quote one sentence that he said at the funeral. And I'm quoting. He said, "It's sad to me because Walter Payton had a lot greater impact on my life than I had on his," end of quote. Should have been the other way around. I appreciate folks that make impacts, don't you? I appreciate folks that point us in the right direction. So many people say, I'm one person, I can't make a difference. I would almost argue that point, would you not? One person, I believe, that sold out to God can make a difference in a lost and dying world. Do you agree? I believe. Let me back that up. Listen to a few facts. In 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. And one vote in 1875 changed France into a republic. In 1876, one vote made Hayes the United States president. In 1923, and this is a sad note, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. One vote. One person can make a difference. Do you agree? I want to give you five principles. They're in your outline. Before we do that, let's look to God's Word. Luke 19, verse 41. Look with me, please. The Bible says, "And when he was come near," referring to Jesus Christ, "he beheld the city and wept over it." Talking about Jerusalem. We're going to the Old Testament in a few moments and talk about Jerusalem. But I want to read this verse to ask you a question. Does Jesus Christ, as he looks at you and me, as he looks at your life and my life, as Jesus Christ from heaven looks over Caldwell County, could he perhaps be weeping today of all the evil and all the wickedness and all the sin? I just want you to ponder that question. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful, beautiful day. Lord, you're always exactly right in what we need. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for health and strength. Again, we count it a privilege, a blessing to be here. Thank you for your word. Help us, God, to realize that we can, because of who you are, each one of us can make a difference in this old, evil, wicked world. Help us, God, if we're not making a difference. Help us, God, to start today. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me in your outline. Five principles. I want to share them with you. Principle number one, we must be a people of spiritual perception. A people of spiritual perception. I want you to go with me in the Old Testament. Let's leave the book of Luke. And I want you to turn with me to Nehemiah chapter number one. I want to call your attention first of all to verse number three. The Bible says this in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 3. "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Now Nehemiah, if you read this verse and look at it, you'll find out that he is crushed. He was crushed for the sake of his people, but also for the sake of his God. And we ponder that question, why? Because he knew that these conditions were a reproach to God's name. There were many things that he could have done. He could have started pushing for the political party to do something. He could have went out to other people and asked those other folks their ideas of what should happen. But Nehemiah knew better. He knew what to do. Look on with me in verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned and certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Now, I want you to look at that verse. The Bible tells us the very first thing that he did was get down on his face before God. And notice how he did that with tears and with prayer and with fasting. And if you'll just, and we're not going to take time to look at all these verses, but if you'll glance at verses 5 through 11, you'll see that Nehemiah knew Israel's spiritual history, and he also knew God's warning that he would send his people into exile if they did not repent. I'm wondering in my mind, not knowing exactly what God may do to America if we do not have revival. I do not know what God may do to America if we do not turn back to him. Again, could it start with you? One person I believe can make a difference. I think about Billy Graham. What a difference he's made. Amen. I think about somebody by the name of Charles Stanley, and the list goes on and on and on. Great men of God who have made that impact. The Bible tells us again that one person, I believe, can make a difference in a lost and dying world. Now, Nehemiah understood the root of the problem was his people's sin. I wonder, could that be our problem in America today? So many times we let the things in the world come into the house of God. So many times we consider sin not sin anymore. Folks, we must realize that if we want to make an impact, we don't start with a political, we don't start with a social, we don't start with economic solutions. Rather, we fall before God in fasting and in power and prayer, and then we go to the Word. It works every time. So many times we're just hesitant to try that. Now, what I'm trying to say is this: no matter what walls that you may have in your life that are crumbling down day by day, the first place to go is to God. And the best place to go is to God. Amen? Now look at in chapter number 1. Flip over to verse 11. We see something very interesting that happened when Nehemiah prayed. I believe in prayer, don't you? In that last line of Nehemiah 1:11, the Bible says this: I was the king's cupbearer. Now I think God put this thought in Nehemiah's mind. Now, I think he put the thought, I'm already in a position for influence. I'm working for the king. And as Nehemiah prayed, it dawned on him that God had already given him the answer that he needed. May we understand this. It wasn't till Nehemiah prayed that God brought the answer to his mind. Folks, prayer is very, very important. Up to this point, what can we learn from Nehemiah? If we want to be a people of influence, we must be a people of prayer. If we want to be a people of influence, we must be a people of fasting. If we want to be a people of influence, we must be a people that will take time to spend time in God's Word. Take time to spend time in God's Word. Notice principle number 2. We must be a people of influence. If you pencil in the word influence, because Nehemiah was spiritually perceptive, he became a man of influence. I want you to turn over to Nehemiah chapter number 2. Now, a cupbearer tested the king's drink to make sure it wasn't poison. That meant a cupbearer was always very close to the king. And one day the king, he noticed something different about Nehemiah. He noticed that his countenance wasn't as bright as it had been before. He asked him if there was something wrong with him. Note how Nehemiah responded. In chapter 2, look at verse 3. The Bible says this: And he said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Nehemiah told the king something like this: I want to rebuild the city. Now, I want you to know that a lot of people have dreams, but they're missing something with their dreams. Many times they don't have any plans. It's okay to have dreams. Make sure they're God's dreams, God's vision, but we need to have a plan and a purpose with that. Let me point out here that Nehemiah had a plan already worked out when the king asked. Now, where in the world did he get this plan? God put it into his mind, do you remember? When he prayed, when he fasted, and when he reflected on the Word. Look at verse 16. God gave Nehemiah an idea. Verse 16 of chapter number 2. And then God gave him an influence that he needed to pull it off. We serve an awesome God. Amen? Verse 16, look with me. The Bible says, And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did work. Now these people living in Jerusalem, in its broken down condition, they were motivated to get the work done. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you will agree with me, we're living in a broken down world. It's not the world that God intends it to be. Do you agree? I'm thankful that we live in an America, in a free nation, but this is not the land that God intends for us to live in. They say that we can't have prayer in school anymore, or at least the teachers can't pray. They say that abortions are on the rise more and more. They say that they're still removing the Ten Commandments from public places. They tell us that people want to take "In God We Trust" off our money. May we start today by being an influence for God, and may we begin one by one taking our country back for God and for His glory. Amen? One by one. May it start with you. Notice principle number 3. We must be a people of faith. How many can remember the name Al Capone? Chicago. Do you remember the story? I was reading and researching this. I found that, now listen to these three groups that were afraid of him. The state police, the city police, and the FBI. Local, state police, and the FBI were afraid of this one man. But there was another man that was a godly man, that was a church man, that was in church every Sunday, a little man. His name, and I'm looking for it in my notes, I'm going to call him Frank, and I'll find his name in a moment. Frank LaRoche. Single-handedly, now catch this story. Without any government support, organized Chicago Crime Commission, a group of citizens determined to take Mr. Capone to court. Now, during this process, Frank's life was in danger. They made threats to his family and to his friends, but he would not back down. And you know the rest of the story. Finally, Al Capone was placed in jail, not because of the police or the FBI, but because of a man who said he had had enough. Now, why does it take faith to make a lasting impact for God? Why? Why do we have to have that strong faith? Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4, please. I want you to look at verse number 6 in Nehemiah chapter number 4. The Bible says, "So build we the wall, and all the walls joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." They were not lazy. They wanted to do something. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. If you look at these verses, let me give you the point. The point is that if you start to make progress in your own spiritual life, I promise you, Satan's going to show up. He's going to begin to hinder what you're doing for the Lord. Satan's not going to let that go. He's going to show up. And something we remember, if you're not doing anything for God, it's easy for him to control you. But when you begin to do more for God, he's going to come and try his best to mess up what's going on. It takes a man, a woman of faith to give, not to give up in the face of resistance. It takes a man or woman of faith to be obedient. I want to share one more thing, if you'll allow me to, about faith. In order to be a man or woman of faith, your view of God must be bigger than of the enemy. I believe that we serve a big God. Amen. I believe that we serve an all-powerful God, an awesome God, a sovereign God. So many times we'll look at our enemies and we'll say, "Wow, we can't stand. There's nothing we can do." We forget in our mind for just a moment how big our God is. Principle number 4, we must be a people of justice. How many of you can remember the name Alfred Noble? Let me tell you his story. One morning he got up and he opened the newspaper and his name was in the obituary. Yeah, has that ever happened to you? I hope not. And he was reading it. His brother had died, but a careless reporter had placed his name in the paper. And as he was reading the things under his name, he didn't like what he read. And it woke him up, even though he wasn't dead. He made a pact with himself and with God that for the rest of his life, he was going to make known what his purpose really was. Alfred Noble, he spent his life making a fortune in the manufacturing sale of weapons. He was sold a lot of, the inventor of dynamite, a lot of weapons. And as he read this paper and as he began to change his life and make folks know more about what he stood for, now you'll remember the end of the story. How many of you remember the Nobel Peace Prize that's given? That's where it came from this man who read his name in the paper, not supposed to be his name, but his brother's name, and it woke him up. And what he read after that, he didn't like. And again, he said, when my name's really in the paper, it's going to say something different. I'll tell you that story to ask you a couple questions. What is your life known for? When your name's in the paper or in the obituary, what will you be remembered for? Nehemiah fought for one thing, more than anything, he fought for righteousness. In chapter 5, we find Nehemiah held the leaders of Jerusalem accountable for being a people of honesty, but we also find that he held those people being accountable for something called justice. Nehemiah didn't let God's people get away from their unjust business practices. I promise you, church, God looks at all sin. He sees all sin. Amen? Can't hide any sin. He sees that little sin. He sees that big sin. So many times we try to sweep it in the carpet. So many times we stay in sin week after week and we think God just looks over it. No. Again, let me ask you some questions. Is there anything in your life that should not be there? Is there something that's keeping you from being an influence for God? So many people will come and say, "Preacher, pray for my spouse. Pray for my child. Pray for this one and that one, and they're lost." And then they'll tell me something that's very sad. They'll tell me that they can't go and share the gospel with that person that they're praying for because that person knows how they live. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier to live right and then you could share with the one you love? That's the way it's supposed to be. When your children and grandchildren look at you, what do they say? I wonder, could there be someone today that would be totally honest as they look at their life and think about the rest of their life and admit maybe they need to make some changes? Let's move on. One last principle. Principle number 5, we must be a people of perseverance. Nehemiah was a man who didn't quit too soon. If you want to make an impact, don't stop doing what God wants you to do. Move self out of the way and do the will of God, not just on Sundays, but every single day of the week. Let me explain. Don't give up on that dream that God gave you just because trouble shows up. Don't let Satan knock you off the wall, and don't let anyone else knock you off that wall. Too many people are hearing what the world says that you can't make a difference. We forget what God says. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. Pencil that in your notes. It's on the screen. The Bible says, "I can do all things." Not some things. I can do all things. Now, what's it talking about? Through Christ, which strengthens me. If it's God's will for you and me to do something, we can do it. Do you agree? It doesn't matter how large it is. We can do it. Nehemiah was doing much more than just rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. That's what we know him for, but let me tell you what else he was doing. He was also rebuilding the people's lives. May each of us give God and our generation something good to remember us by. Are you influencing your children, or is the world influencing your children? What will your children and grandchildren remember you for when you die? I want to tell you a story about Teddy. A very touching story. He was in the fifth grade. I want to read you two sentences about what his fifth grade teacher wrote about him. Halfway through the school year, "Teddy, disinterested in school, musty." I guess that meant he smelled bad. I don't know. "Musty. Wrinkled clothes. Hair never combed. One of those kids in school with a deadpan face." I'm not exactly sure what that means. Deadpan face, expressionless, sort of glassy, unfocused stare. Now, Miss Thompson was his fifth grade teacher, and she said that she loved to mark his papers. He didn't act like he cared. She loved to take red ink and put an F on his paper. She loved to put on there, "You can do better." You didn't give any effort. She loved to mark them up. Until one day, around Christmas. You see, she should have known better. Let me tell you what the other teacher said. Stay with me on this story. Remember Miss Thompson, fifth grade. First grade teacher. Remember, used to get that folder that nobody could see but the principal and teacher? What was it called? I forget. Okay. I guess they still have them, but they're on a computer, aren't they? So, okay. Listen to the first grade teacher. Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude, but poor home situation. Notice the second grade teacher. Teddy could do better. Mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade teacher. Teddy is a good boy, but he's too serious. He's a slow learner. His mom died this year. Fourth grade teacher. Teddy is very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest. Now, Miss Thompson knew all this. She read that at the beginning of the year, but still she had fun marking his papers with F's and all that writing on there until Christmas. Christmas time, and all the boys and girls in that class was bringing Miss Thompson's gifts. And they were placing them on the table, her desk, and at the close of the day, she was opening those. And she got to Teddy's gift. It wasn't wrapped very well. He had wrapped it himself. And she opened it up, and it was a bracelet. And half of the stones were gone, but half of them were in there. Some of the kids began to snigger and laugh, but she very quickly put it on her arm. And she said, "I love that bracelet." And she wore it for the rest of the day. And inside that package was a half-used bottle of perfume. And she put some of that on in front of the kids so they would quit laughing. She said, "That smells so good." Everybody left that day, and Teddy was the last one to leave. And she called Teddy over. She said, "Teddy, thank you for remembering me. I didn't expect you to bring me a gift, but I really like the bracelet." Teddy gave her a hug, and she gave Teddy a hug back. And Teddy said these words, "You smell just like my mom." Not only was that his mom's bracelet, but that was his mom's half bottle of perfume. Something happened when Teddy went out the door. Miss Thompson fell to her knees in that schoolroom. She began to pray, asked God to forgive her. And when the next day came, those children had a different teacher. It was still Miss Thompson. But Miss Thompson, because of who God is, became a new teacher. She was going to make a difference for God. Every day that she had left to teach, she was going to stand for God and make an impact for God. Now, Teddy made it through the fifth grade and went on. And Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a while, but I want to tell you how the story ends. Listen closely. One day she received a note. It reads this way. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I'm graduating second in my high school class." 4 years later came another note. "Miss Thompson, I wanted you to know I'm graduating first in my class. The university's not been easy, but I liked it." And each time she got a note, he was signing it, "Love, Teddy. Love, Teddy." 4 years later, here come another note. "They don't call me Teddy anymore. They call me Theodore, medical doctor." How about that? "I wanted you to be the first to know, and I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive." She went. She stood there so proud with tears in her eyes because God had allowed her for the rest of that year. She had messed up the first half of that year. She wasn't an influence. She didn't make an impact on Teddy. But from Christmas on, after Christmas break, she made an impact in Teddy's life. And what a result. I want to ask you, it's invitation time. Are you making a difference in someone's life? That little boy's life that's just so precious to you, that little girl's life, your family's life. Can they see Jesus Christ in you when they look at you? Do you have to tell them that you've been to church, or can they tell that you've been to God's house? I wonder today, does someone need to make a change? Miss Thompson fell to her knees and she said, "God, forgive me Forgive me, I've not been a Christian teacher. I've not been thinking about my students. It's all been about me. How about us today? How about us? Think this thought, and we're going to pray. If everyone here this morning made a difference in at least one person's life, could you imagine what would begin to happen in this church and in Caldwell County? Could you just begin to imagine? This is just one story, but God's in the multiplication business. Amen? And it can happen over and over and over. Let's stand together and pray together.